Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
John LeMay, one thing we haven't really touched upon, maybe you don't, what does mainstream science say about the stories of dinosaurs being seen over the years?
Well, they're always going to reject the idea, same way as you used to would find tons and tons of articles where people would say, I dug up the bone of a giant, and they were absolutely positive. It wasn't a dinosaur bone. It was like a giant human femur or a giant human skull. Tons of articles about it. No actual giant bones, though, on display at the Smithsonian, and that's why a lot of people think that the Smithsonian and kind of mainstream science in league with the government, for whatever weird, nefarious reason, they cover up certain things. And most of the public, I don't think, has that much trust in the government or science anymore. So it's not terribly surprising to think that they would suppress the truth about dinosaurs the same way as for many years they've suppressed the truth about UFOs and flying saucers.
Yeah, but unknown species of animals, that would seem to be something that would be embraced by mainstream science. I understand about UFOs because there's a possibility we're being visited by ET, and that has all sorts of ramifications. But if you find an animal that we thought had been extinct for a couple of million years, and here it is, that would sound cool. But what do I know?
Well, I think that's the problem, especially with Bigfoot, is so many people see it, but where are the bodies? A lot of researchers now will say that Bigfoot somehow exists in another dimension and somehow for a few hours or a few minutes drifts into our plane of reality, and then they drift back into their plane of reality, and that's why people see them, but they can never actually find a body. So that's usually too much for most people and for most scientists, I think.
Well, to me, I mean, it kind of makes sense in kind of a warped way, I suppose. You know, going back to the dinosaur sightings, I mean, here you have years and years of people seeing these things. I mean, you know, go all the way back to these old newspaper accounts to modern times that, sure, some of these cases may be hoaxes, but a lot of them seem to be credible. So where are these things, you know, hiding? It does. It seems almost like they're able to, you know, step out of some kind of a dimensional doorway, you know, run around, crush some cactus, and jump back in, disappear for a while.
Yeah, and Tim, you keep jogging my memory for the best stuff. So in Australia, Australia is the only place where I know this is a thing. Australia's dinosaur sightings are totally different than anywhere else's because in Australia, they will see the dinosaur slowly vanish into thin air. Hmm. And it's Rex Gilroy who always writes about these things. And Rex Gilroy thinks that there's time windows, or whatever you'd call them, in Australia, and the dinosaurs slip in and out of them, and sometimes he said that people will also look through the time window, and they can see into the age of the dinosaurs, and it will close up, and so in the absence of finding an actual dinosaur body, that I suppose under the circumstances makes more sense than anything, that maybe some of these dinosaur sightings are creatures that somehow slip in and out of time for whatever reason. And time is something we, at least the general public, know very little about.
But well, of course, there are those British sci-fi series, Primeval.
Oh, yeah.
It's about dimensional portals that take you to some prehistoric past.
Yeah, I'd heard of that, and I'd never seen it, so I'll have to check that out.
Well, let's just say it was a low-budget show.
Oh,
it wasn't a bad show.
It wasn't too bad. It was pretty good.
There were a couple of them they had, and they lasted, what, two or three seasons?
Well, and, you know, it makes you wonder, though, whether or not some of these people, like in Australia, may have seen something similar, being able to peer through these doorways and decided to take maybe a step too far. And that's where you get a lot of these missing 411 cases.
Yeah.
You can step in, but you can't step out.
I can't wait.
I'm sorry, Dean.
I can't wait.
No, but you'd never end up at some place that you would you'd want to go. You'd end up, you know, like Black Plague London or someplace fun like that.
Have you ever explored anything like that, where people get lost in some kind of time distortion?
I know someone who claims that they've stepped through a portal before, and they said it wasn't fun, and said the human body isn't really built for that. I haven't gotten deep into that, though. The only thing I've come close to researching is just the stories of Ambrose Bierce, an early 20th century writer, or maybe late 19th century writer, who wrote about Orion Williamson, who walked across a field and vanished into thin air. And for many years, people thought that was a true story and didn't realize it was just a story that Bierce had made up. But the irony, though, is in the end, Bierce himself vanished without his trace, and people don't know where his body is or what happened to him. And that's the closest I've ever gotten to investigating portals and things like that.
No, I want to know. I want to know about your friend who had the experience.
So she's on a podcast I'm on pretty often, once a month, called Scary Cast. Her name's Robin, and she's a psychic. She says she can see Bigfoot quite often, and she's the one who really taught me about Bigfoot and portals. And because it's one thing to, you know, maybe read these comments online or hear people tell stories, but when you talk to someone who's clearly a normal, level-headed individual, and they tell you about all these, you know, strange things, it kind of changes your perspective, because they're not, you know, what you would consider crazy. You know, I mean, they're a normal person. Yeah, so Robin was the one who told me that she had stepped through a portal once, and she just said it wasn't pleasant, and that was her comment, was the human body's not designed for that. And so that's, like I said, the only person I've ever known that stepped through a portal. But again, most people who see UFOs and stuff like that, they're not odd people usually. You know, they're just a normal person who saw something very strange. And that's not to say, I mean, you do obviously meet a lot of crazy people who are crazy. And I think you can tell when they're crazy when they talk like I do and they just talk really fast nonstop. You know, I mean, that's usually the giveaway that they're crazy. But that's just kind of my radio persona I go into to fill up the airtime. Just keep talking and talking.
Well, if you talk fast enough, we won't get to ask you questions.
Yeah.
And this way you can avoid the questions. You just keep talking. But you see here at the Paracast, we don't let you get away with that. Have you run into situations there where the people you talk to, and obviously you're communicating with a lot of people because of all the books you've written, are putting you on?
Yeah, I worry about that. I do worry about who might be putting me on. But I'll say this, though. The person that I interviewed who has the coolest, quote-unquote, craziest story of all, which is the alien ghost, one of the sweetest, most normal people I ever met. So Roswell has an alien ghost. And, I mean, if you ever thought I was being put on, you would probably think it's the person who's told me the story of the alien ghost. Well, here's the story of the alien ghost. You know, in 1947, after the saucer crash, they allegedly took the bodies to the airbase, and they you know, stored them at a time at the base hospital, naturally. And supposedly one of the aliens died there. Well, the base hospital was retrofitted to become the New Mexico Rehabilitation Center, and it was in operation up until around the early 2000s. And I went there one night to interview the night nursing staff at midnight, just because that's when most of them work. And they all of the staff unanimously agreed that, yes, there were ghosts in the building. They all of their stories lined up. You know, I didn't feel like they were putting me on. And You know, and this was 2009. I had only written one book back then. It wasn't like I was any type of well-known author that they would even want to put on. You know, I was just kind of still a little nobody back then.
But you know what? We're going to find out what happened after that in our next segment with John, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So when you started writing books, you were an unknown John LeMay. And then what happened?
Yeah, it was 2009. I'd only had like one book published, and I went to the New Mexico Rehabilitation Center, which was the former hospital where the alien bodies were allegedly taken after the Roswell UFO crash. And the staff there all spoke with me, and they all agreed that there were ghosts in the building. Most of them, you know, were just human ghosts. But there was one nurse there named Josephine Moronis, and she told me that in 1997 she did see a different type of ghost. She said it was a very small stature. It was swaddled in bandages, if I'm remembering this right. It had the eyes like an alien, the big black eyes. And she said that it gave her a moment of paralysis where she couldn't move, and then it kind of faded out of her view. And, you know, that was her alien ghost sighting. I think she saw it again a few nights later. You know, to circle back to what I was saying, you know, this is a very normal person. It's not someone who I felt was putting me on or someone who is quote-unquote crazy. You know, to me, she seemed like anybody else I would meet in Roswell. Because Roswell, everybody jokes about it, but people in Roswell are really pretty normal. It's probably the tourists that are odder than anyone. Local Roswellians are pretty normal.
That's funny because I've had several people who worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base report similar ghostly sightings of what appeared to be the ghost of a gray alien in certain areas of the base. So, you know, it's...
I didn't know there were others, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think some other people have reported on it, but I knew some people who, you know, were, you know, non-coms that worked at Wright-Patterson, and give me, you know, pretty similar reports, you know, similar you know, visually of whatever this ghostly figure was. There was another one of the other things that you sent me, John, about Roswell. Stick with this question and Roswell. Roswell history apart from the UFO crash involving some Wild West characters and how they tie into the UFO crash in interesting ways.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. So where I got my start in terms of writing books was just Roswell's basic general history. And I'm a big proponent for our local historical museum, which is called the Historical Society for Southeast New Mexico. So if you visit Roswell and you stop off at the UFO Museum, I also encourage you to visit our local historical museum, which kind of promotes the old Western history of the town. Roswell, you know, now it's all UFOs and stuff, but back in the old West days, we actually did have some famous Western figures live here. Probably the easiest point of reference is a 1970 John Wayne movie called Chisholm. You know, had to do with Billy the Kid and all that. But, you know, Billy the Kid is more associated with the town of Lincoln and Fort Sumner. But Roswell was the home of John Chisholm, the famous cattle baron that John Wayne plays in the movie, kind of a larger-than-life figure. And Roswell was also the home of Pat Garrett, who shot Billy the Kid in 1881. When I mentioned, though, the UFO connection... You know, New Mexico is a small state, so Pat Garrett, he was assassinated in 1908 as part of a little local conspiracy. Some politicians wanted to get rid of Pat Garrett, and what they did, it actually involved goats, as odd as this sounds. They set up a guy named Jesse Brazil, to lease Garrett's land he rented to him and put goats on it. The cattlemen hated goats because goats would eat not only the grass, but the roots of the grass, and then they would ruin their land. So they knew that when this guy moved the goats onto Garrett's land, he would become so enraged. And their plan was to be able to say that, well, Garrett was so mad, he tried to shoot Jesse Brazil, so Jesse Brazil had to shoot him back. So that's basically the official story as to what happened, is Pat Garrett and Jesse Brazil were arguing, and the story goes that Jesse Brazil shot Pat Garrett, but in fact, everybody says that Pat Garrett was really shot by an assassin kind of hiding out in the bushes. So that's why I say, you know, it's a conspiracy. But what I think is ironic is years later, Jesse Brazil's, it's either his cousin or his second cousin, something like that, his cousin was involved in a conspiracy as well, and that was Matt Grizzell, the rancher who found the UFO debris in 1947. And it is pronounced Brazil because I met some of his relatives only last weekend, and I had always called him Matt Grizzell, and they said, no, it's Matt Grizzell. But anyway, so the guy who found the UFO debris and the guy who shot Pat Garrett or helped shoot Pat Garrett, whatever, they're both related, which is just interesting.
That's very that's very interesting.
And there's one more too. Do we have time for one more?
Oh yeah, go for it.
Okay. The other interesting connection is, so again, let's go to between 1947 and 1950. New Mexico's governor, his name was Thomas Mabry, and being the governor of New Mexico in 1947, I'm sure he had to know about the UFO crash. And there are stories that the lieutenant governor of New Mexico, I think his name was Joe Montoya, he was at the Roswell Air Base when the crash happened and allegedly saw the bodies. So I would think if the lieutenant governor was privy to all this, then the governor, Thomas Mabry, would also be privy to it. So, again, that was 1947. Then in 1949, something else odd happened to Governor Mabry. He had a man come and visit him who claimed that he was Billy the Kid. He said that Pat Garrett didn't really shoot him, that Garrett had shot someone else back in 1881, and he had actually fled to Mexico and survived all these years, and his name was Brushy Bill Roberts. And he met with Governor Mabry about getting a pardon. And I guess the point I'm trying to get to is it's possible then that Governor Mabry not only saw aliens, but he met Billy the Kid. It's possible.
You hear a lot of stories like that. I mean, it's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You know, they were supposedly killed, yet more than likely fled to Bolivia.
Uh-huh.
So that's the first time I've heard the story, though, about Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
I know there was several people who came forward and claimed that they were Jesse James, along a similar vein, you know, that he hadn't been, you know, actually assassinated, that he had actually just, you know, changed identities, went undercover.
Well, and this is what's interesting, too, that the man who claimed he was Jesse James, J. Frank Dalton, he was friends with Brushy Bill Roberts, so that's kind of odd. But then it gets even stranger. So Brushy Bill Roberts, he visited Billy the Kid's grave in Fort Sumner in 1950. About exactly a month later, Billy the Kid's tombstone is stolen. And where do they find Billy the Kid's tombstone? They find it in Granbury, Texas, in the year 1976.
Yes. We'll get into more about these strange tombstones and more these Western legends with John, Tim, and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
U.S. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. While Roe v. Wade has been Supreme Court precedent for 50 years, it is standing its biggest legal test right now. According to constitutional law expert Alan Dershowitz on Newsmax, as Mississippi seeks to move the timetable on abortion restrictions, he says the choice is between either overruling Roe v. Wade or the middle ground position of upholding Mississippi, but not overruling. But what if Roe v. Wade is overruled?
A cataclysmic political event in America. Congress would try to pass a statute first, making abortion a federal right. It would become a major issue in the 2022 midterms and then in the 2024 presidential.
The White House announced on Saturday that President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin will talk next week amid a Russian military buildup on the border with Ukraine. This is USA Radio News. A Greek Orthodox priest on Saturday shouted, "Pope, you are a heretic," at Francis in Athens. A man with a long white beard wearing black robes and a black hat was taken away by police after shouting at the Pope as he entered the Orthodox archbishopric. Francis arrived in Greece on Saturday to visit the Greek Roman Catholics in an effort to bring together the Eastern and Western churches. CNN announced late Saturday afternoon the cable network has fired host Chris Cuomo, effective immediately, following an investigation into Cuomo using his journalism contacts to help defend his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, when he was facing numerous allegations of sexual assault by female staffers. Andrew Cuomo resigned in disgrace last August. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Heck, next we'll be talking about the Lone Ranger. Rides again.
The Lone Ranger meets Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And, of course, you know, the Lone Ranger was an ancestor of the Green Hornet.
Is that canon? Like, did they make that a canon fact?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Remember, the last name is Reed, right? Family name, Reed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Yes, we were talking about Billy the Kid's tombstone and Jesse James and all this wild stuff. So.
Right. Wild so anyways, stuff, Billy, yes.
Yeah. Billy the Kid's tombstone, stolen in 1950. Covered in 1976 in a little town called Granbury, which wouldn't be weird, except Granbury, Texas is right next to Hyco, Texas, where Brushy Bill lived and he died, and in Granbury, Texas is buried J. Frank Dalton, who claimed to be Jesse James, and also in Granbury, Texas, back in 1870, is where John Wilkes Booth allegedly fled, because he didn't die either, and he became a bartender in Granbury, so... There's a lot of weird stuff in Granbury in terms of outlaws who didn't really die, and nobody knows why they all converged on this one town or why people chose to make up stories and set them in Granbury, but it's something very odd.
Well, certainly we have legends all through the years. I know that over at the old Art Bell Coast to Coast show, and you've been on Coast to Coast, I understand, John, but the original host, he had somebody on there who claimed to be Jim Morrison of the Doors, who did not die at the age of 27, but lived on. They said, of course, that Elvis didn't die, but, you know, I mean, some of this gets ridiculous. There was a movie where they show a short version of John Lennon still being alive in a universe where the Beatles never existed.
I miss that one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess need to go and look, and I, you know, Elvis and Tupac and Michael Jackson all sharing an apartment there in Texas.
The film, by the way, is called Yesterday. Okay?
I've seen that. Yes, yes, I have seen that. All right.
And it's about this guy who has the songs, he brings the songs out, and he becomes famous, and finally has to admit that he just heard them. And then he meets somebody at the end who is supposedly an elderly John Lennon, except the guy was probably half a foot shorter than the real John Lennon, who was something like 5'10 or 5'11. I never could explain that, but I guess they wanted it to look ridiculous.
There's actually a whole internet thing about a guy who claimed that he discovered, and I think it's, again, it's like, you know, like a dimensional hopping type of thing where he went to a reality where the Beatles never broke up and came back with a cassette tape of new Beatles songs that if you look for it, if you Google it, you'll run across it. And whoever hoaxed this and did the editing with these songs did a really good job. They're original fakes. I don't know how you would describe them. You know, sounds like the Beatles, but, you know, songs that supposedly, you know, came from another reality.
Well, you know, there's a series of books that Bryce Zabel has written, one of which was What If JFK Had Not Been Killed? What would have happened and what was going on, the political cross currents, and what if the Beatles never broke up? The big reason, I think, history shows with the Beatles that they broke up was Alan Klein. If they hadn't hooked up with Alan Klein and hadn't had that dispute, they might have separated to do their own thing, then gotten together. That, I think, might have actually happened had John Lennon not been killed. And that's not an alternate reality. That's this one.
That's this one, right? Since we were talking about Roswell, the ghost of Roswell, things like that, I'm going to have to, you know, circle back around. I mean, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, but you've got the book, The Real Cowboys and Aliens, The Lost Cases. Now, it looks like it just came out at the beginning of November. Is that right, John?
Yeah, that's right. That's Noe and I's latest.
That's okay, okay. And I mean, are you? Did you uncover cases much like the Sorian cases, where from old newspapers of you know, people having encounters with supposed extraterrestrials? I mean, even that far back before people were even thinking about extraterrestrials.
Yes, like I said, yeah, Noe and I just scour these newspaper websites. Like news, there's Newspaper Archive, and then there's also just newspaper.com. Again, yeah, you have to pay for, you know, subscription, but you just type in airship, you know, and see what pops up. You couldn't type in UFO, nothing will pop up for that, you know. And you actually, if you type in alien, nothing will come up. They didn't really talk about aliens back then. You'd have to type in a different keyword, like visitor from Mars or something like that. But yeah, so what Lost Cases really means is these were just cases that Noe and I didn't find for us when we were doing our first run of the book series, because we were trying to go in chronological order. We did three main volumes. The first volume was 1800 to 1864. Second one was like 65 to 95. Volume 3 was set during the Great Airship Wave. That took place between 1896 and 1897. So for that one, we were able to fill a whole book just on those 2 years. But that was our original, you know, series that we thought we found everything. So the Lost Cases is just stuff where it's a story that we missed, or maybe it's a story that's maybe not totally alien-related, like I was talking about Ambrose Bierce earlier. That's one of the chapters in Lost Cases about his strange disappearance. And found another story about how Pancho Villa allegedly found a crystal skull in Mexico. And, you know, again, you can't necessarily say that crystal skulls are related to aliens, but most people think they are. So, like I said, they're stories that are kind of tangential to UFOs and aliens, or they're stories we just missed the first time. But yeah, that is the newest book, Real Cowboys and Aliens, The Lost Cases.
Again, I think that a lot of people would be surprised that there would be so many cases that you would actually be able to write a series of books on, you know, on incidents that occurred before, you know, what's traditionally known as the modern UFO era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got everything. You've even got old Mothman sightings.
Really?
Just everything you can imagine. All sorts of cool stuff. You know, they just didn't call him Mothman, but it's the same type of description.
I know you've got listed here on the Coming of the Airships books on Amazon, which I should point out that all of your books are available on Amazon. You've got most were piloted by normal human beings, including a few men in black. Are you able to elaborate a little bit on that one?
Yeah. That was probably the biggest shocker was how many Men in Black stories we found from the Old West era. We're kind of contemplating just doing an Old West Men in Black book if we can find a few more.
Wow.
But yeah, every so often there would be Men in Black sighted in conjunction with the airships. And this is something else that most people, the general public, don't know about the Men in Black, because they perceive this from the you know, the comical movie series with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
But of course, we all also remember the Men in Black from Gray Barker, where it kind of sort of started, at least in the modern era. And speaking of Gray Barker, we do have an interview with him from the 1960s, Bob Zanotti's Coffee Klatch program, in our repositories for Paracast Plus listeners. Check the Paracast.plus for more information about signing up. We've got more with John, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Tell us more about Men in Black, but not the Men in Black that we have all read about.
Yeah, Gene, you mentioned Gray Barker, and, you know, I can't remember names at this point, but I think that's who I was going to talk about next. Is Gray Barker the guy who saw the Men in Black, like, materialize in his room and they smell like sulfur? Oh,
that would be more Albert K. Bender.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. Yeah, because that's what I wanted to say. You know, people think of the Men in Black as just these government agents, but the first sightings of them were kind of like ghosts and poltergeists. They had supernatural powers.
Well, and Albert K. Bender said he thought they were space people.
Okay.
That was his opinion about that, but the impression that he created, at least in his communications with Gray Barker, for the book They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers from the 1950s, was that they were government agents.
So with the Old West cases, that's a hard one. In the Old West, most of those sightings, a few of them had kind of the supernatural aspect, just like the one we were talking about. But some of them were as simple as the Men in Black were the pilots of the UFOs. And my favorite one does actually remind me of the Men in Black movies, because you remember in the movies they would have their special cars that could go, like, super fast and they could fly. Well, I can't believe it, but I found an actual real newspaper article. Couldn't have been hoax, because, I mean, it's in the old newspaper, and it sounds just like the movie, only in the Old West. So a father and son observed a man in black get into a buggy, you know, like a horse and buggy carriage, except for it didn't have a horse. And this buggy, they claimed, went super fast and then flew off into the air, which, again, makes me think of their cars from the movie, except that this was a horse and buggy without a horse, and it flew. And again, it was a man in black piloting it. And there it is in the middle of all these other articles from the time that are normal. So, I mean, it's not like an article that somebody planted on me and Noe. You know, we saw it in the middle of the newspaper. That's what it says. So that's the most unreal Men in Black story that we found.
That's amazing, though, because all of the similar modern reports about Men in Black, not necessarily a horseless buggy, but say the black Cadillac they get into, some people reported that it'll just, you know, fade away and disappear. And I think there's even a couple, Gene, that say that the car actually flew away once the guys got inside. Now, you know, you don't hear that very often,
But yeah, very, very reminiscent of modern sightings.
This is something that has gone on for so long, and there's so much confusion here. We have men in black that are possible spiritual or psychic beings or demonic beings, or they're government agents or maybe a combination.
If you are dealing with government agents, so, I mean, you know, like the Wild Wild West, I mean, you have a government agency that's been in existence since that far back.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, who knows? The coincidences are astounding.
It goes to show you, though, that when it comes to, you know, the world of the weird, there's really nothing new under the sun. I mean, anything that people are reporting about today, as you have shown, John, in your books, you can go back and find dozens of similar cases. And you can pick, you know, either from the, you know, cowboys or aliens and cowboys and saurians, you know, out of all of these cases, you know, is there one or two that you still, you know, are just flabbergasted, you know, like your favorite case, and you're still just like, wow, I can't believe that, but there it is.
Yeah, I think that's still the Crosswicks case, just because, again, it sounds like something from a horror movie, but there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to kind of back it up. It's just, it's crazy. But in terms of some other ones that really blew my mind, I dug up one that at first I thought was just another pterodactyl sighting down in South America, because it was just about some guys outside of a mine observing the strange bird in the sky, and I think they said it was glowing or something like that. So as I started to really dig into the story, I found it didn't sound so much like a pterodactyl. It sounded more like a creature from their local mythology. I think it was specifically down in Chile somewhere. They had this mythical bird called the Alicanto that would fly around. It would be sighted near the mines. And you know, that was fairly interesting in of itself, but it wasn't, you know, a great way to really cap off that story. And I kept digging around, and I found out that it was sighted again a few weeks later, and this time they sighted it at night, and they claimed they could see that this bird was actually glowing in the sky. And then what really got me is, I think very soon after, there was a devastating earthquake. And I wish I could remember the year, but where I'm going with this is, it reminded me a lot of Mothman, because John Keel, in trying to wrap up his Mothman story, he theorized that, well, Mothman was some sort of strange visitor that was trying to warn us of the impending Silver Bridge collapse disaster. You know, he basically made the case that Mothman was a horrible omen. So, you know, to me, it really blew my mind that this mythical bird creature was an omen for the earthquake that happened. So that was one that really blew my mind. That, yeah, I mean, even let's say the bird stories, the glowing bird was just a made-up newspaper fabrication. I mean, the earthquakes did happen. You know, that's a historical record. And I think the bird sightings actually happened as well.
You know, that's interesting, because there have been modern day reports of a pterodactyl type of creature being seen in New Guinea. And one of its characteristics is that it glows at night. It appears to be bioluminescent. I think that's an interesting connection between, you know, two cryptid flying creature sightings.
Like I say, you just jog my memory every five. You're right. There are a lot of luminescent pterodactyl stories, and I didn't even think to include that detail in that chapter, which just embarrasses me now. But yeah, and some of us even think maybe the Marfa lights of Texas. What if those are bioluminescent creatures and they're not UFOs, and that's why people can see them almost every night, and they move around so erratically? But yeah, bioluminescence. That's an interesting.
I wrote a book along with Timothy Green Beckley about lost treasures, and one of the aspects that people used to look for while treasure hunting were ghost lights or will-o'-the-wisps, because allegedly these things would appear and hover over places where treasure had been buried.
And in fact, you know, the people who originally started digging at Oak Island back in the early 1800s, they were clued in because they saw strange lights on the island. And at that time, there supposedly wasn't anybody living there. Maybe the Mothra lights, maybe somebody should get their metal detectors out in that area.
How about we continue some of this on After the Paracast? But in the meantime, John LeMay, do you have a website where people can find what you do?
No, I just have an Amazon page. So if you type in John LeMay under books, you should find me pretty quick. And as I say, I've got a pretty eclectic range of topics to choose from.
Sounds great. And we find your books, I assume, on Amazon.
Yeah, that's right.
You can also find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, look for the Paracast on Facebook, and check out branded merchandise for Paracast listeners with special logos and everything, T-shirts and throw pillows and mugs. Go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop, especially now get something almost in time for Christmas. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. And to find out more, go to theparacast.plus. We give you this show free of the network ads to subscribers with higher bit rate, better quality audio. The After the Paracast podcast, where you never, ever, 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 hardly ever, know what's going to happen next. And by the way, John LeMay is going to be on there because we got so many more things to talk with him about amongst all those 30 books. We have a special deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to save 20% on lifetime and on five-year subscriptions. The Paracast.plus. John LeMay, great to meet you. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Had a blast. Thank you.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.